Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcasts. This is Pat Iyer, and today we're going to be talking about the tricky subject of taking risks and making changes in your life, which is certainly something that we run into as legal nurse consultants, both business owners, legal nurse consultants who work for agencies and law firms and in a variety of other settings. I have with me today Donna Cardillo, who many of you may know as the Dear Donna columnist at nurse.com. She is known as the Inspiration Nurse and is an expert blogger at droz.com. She travels the world, and I know she does a lot of speaking as a certified speaking professional, one of the few nurses in the National Speakers Association who has that designation, and only 10% of all speakers have earned that specific credential. She travels the world inspiring nurses and healthcare professionals to move beyond fear and live and work to their highest potential. Donna has been recognized in our home state of New Jersey twice as the New Jersey Businesswoman of the Year and received the coveted Athena Award, which is a national leadership award for women. Donna has appeared regularly on television and radio and is the author of several books that are geared towards nurses dealing with the transition and changes that we need to make in our lives. And she's also a founding member and past president of the New Jersey chapter of the National Speakers Association and the National Association of Women Business Owners. Donna and I first met approximately 1987. We were discussing when we were both involved in a local quality assurance association, now known as Quality Improvement, and a variety of other titles. We were connecting in New Jersey at that time and have stayed connected since. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you, Pat. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners.
What I wanted to talk to you today about is some of the changes that our listeners may be facing. And I talk to legal nurse consultants who are torn between the security of leaving a paycheck and becoming an entrepreneur, or making a step to expand their business, perhaps to take on subcontractors or to hire employees. Many of these nurses feel like they're stuck and they're fearful of making changes. Can you give us some advice about dealing with the fear that they may be experiencing?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly a big leap to go from being employed somewhere to being self-employed. And as you say, leaving the so-called security of a paycheck, although let me just mention that word security first of all. There really is no security with any job today. We kind of delude ourselves into thinking there is security in employment. So once we get over that, maybe it makes it a little bit easier to consider being self-employed. Fear is a natural part of the process whenever we're making any kind of change, because it's human nature to want to maintain the status quo, to stay where we are, even if we're in a situation that is perhaps not as fulfilling as we would like or doesn't offer the kind of lifestyle or flexibility that we want. We may not even be completely happy where we are, but our tendency still is to stay put rather than make a change. And that's normal. But the truth is, when you are not learning and being challenged and growing in any way, you really begin to stagnate. And that's when we get stuck and in a rut. And it's important to understand that fear is automatically part of the equation whenever we're trying something for the first time or making a change or doing something new. And I like to think of fear as growing pains rather than something to be an obstacle to moving forward. Sometimes people get the fear of making change confused with the type of fear we might experience if we're walking down a dark alley at night in a bad part of street, a bad part of town. That type of fear gets our adrenaline pumping, heightens our senses so that we can protect ourselves. But the fear that we experience when we're trying something new, making a change, breaking out on our own, is a different type of fear. It's another type of fear to make us more aware and alert so that we can do the best we can moving forward. And that type of fear I refer to as growing pains. It's a way of reframing it. So some of us can make fear kind of build a wall in front of us and make it an obstacle to move forward. Or once we realize that fear is automatically going to be there when we try something for the first time or do something new until we master it, I say bring fear along with you as a friend and feel the fear and do it anyway. Once you master a new skill, you do something for the first time, you begin to get acclimated and learn and grow in a new environment or a new way to make a living, the fear begins to dissipate until the next challenge comes along. But that's just part of life. Feeling the fear, facing it, moving forward, growing until the next challenge comes along.
I like the way you describe that, because I think that there's a risk that a person can become paralyzed with fear and, as you say, stay stuck in a very undesirable situation because of not knowing what might be ahead. And yet, without making those changes, those leaps, there's no way out of that difficult situation.
That's true, Pat. And we, you know, people often say, I don't know what's ahead, as you just did, and that's true. But in reality, we don't know what's ahead if we stay put in our current situation either, because I've spoken to so many nurses over the years who had a job where they thought they had security, or maybe they liked it or whatever, and then they come in one day and they find out that their position's been eliminated or the company is downsizing or new management comes in or the business or the healthcare facility is purchased and everything changes. So change is a natural thing. It's an organic thing that happens in our environment. Change is likely to happen anyway. So yeah, it's always good to be exploring options, moving forward. I also, in terms of the future, the unknown, like with trying something new, for example, I say that there is no failure. There's only different lessons to learn. And I don't think you can ever make a wrong decision. I think it's just a matter of having different experiences. It's a whole different way of looking at things.
It reminds me of a podcast that I did a few days ago, and I was asked, what do you consider to be one of the things that you failed at? And I described my definition of what had happened in my life that other people would call a failure. And I said, I don't really call that a failure. However, I call it an unintended outcome.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think, in truth, everything that happens to us, unintended outcome or otherwise, is part of our life's journey. It's part of the growth process. We wouldn't be who we are today or where we are doing what we're doing if it wasn't for all of the things that we've experienced. And everybody has had challenging situations, relationships that didn't work out, other life circumstances, jobs, career moves that didn't work out perhaps as we had anticipated. Yet I think there are lessons to learn in everything, and if you look at things as you just described, not as a failure, but as we used to call it, an unintended outcome, absolutely true, but there's always an opportunity for learning and growth. And sometimes we have to experience some of those unintended outcomes to really push us forward in our personal, our emotional, and our spiritual growth and self-development.
Do you have any tips that you can share about how we can minimize risks when going through the kinds of changes that we've been talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, we can get some information beforehand. For example, nurses have often written to me or asked me in person about, they're thinking about making a job change or starting a business or whatever it might be, and they're just trying to make a decision where they are, saying, gee, should I stay or should I go? Should I go here? Should I go there? And the first thing I always say is get some basic information first. For example, if you're thinking about, let's say, becoming self-employed versus being employed, speak to some other self-employed legal nurse consultants first and ask them about the upside and the downside of being self-employed. Ask them about things they wish they had known beforehand or perhaps lessons that they've learned, because then you get a full picture of what it's really going to like, what it's really going to be like. You get more information about it rather than just saying, gee, maybe I should try being self-employed. I don't know what's going to happen. You get some information and you're able to go in, make a better decision and go in with your eyes a little bit more wide open. But it's also important to surround yourself with other people who are successfully doing the thing that you want to do. So, for example, with legal nurse consultants, it would be joining and being active in the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants. And when I say being active, I mean attending local meetings, attending conferences, getting on a committee, getting on the board, because you're surrounding yourself with other people who are doing the thing that you want to do or that you're getting started in. I always say when there's something you want to do, it makes sense to rub elbows with those who are successfully doing that thing. And then you're developing a support system, an information pipeline. You have people to ask questions of, to bounce ideas off of, to give you a sense of perspective. And of course, by staying active in your professional associations, you're also staying connected to cutting-edge information that affects your profession and your specialty. There's other associations like the National Nurses and Business Association and other organizations as well. It really will help to minimize your risk, where you're constantly putting yourself with people who are knowledgeable, who have experience. One of the associations I've always belonged to is also the National Association of Women Business Owners. And one of the benefits to me of that is that I go to meetings and I'm on committees with other professional people, accountants, attorneys, insurance agents, other people who also have expertise that I need to run my business. And when we go to a meeting and we're sitting and having dinner, or because we're both members of the association, I can pick up the phone anytime and call them, and I'll ask them a question about something, and they get back to me in a collegial way. So I minimize my risks that way too, by staying connected to people who have expertise, who have experience that can help and support me, and who hopefully I can help and support at the same time. You can't stay isolated in business. You can't operate in a vacuum. You have to create a support network of other people that are going to help you in your journey.
I think one of the key points that you just made is to also break out of just the purely nursing world. If you are focused on building a business, you can learn a huge amount from the National Speakers Association or from the National Association of Women Business Owners. There is a group in some parts of the country called the American Business Women's Association, which I will be joining the local chapter. But I think the key message is seek out other groups. The Chamber of Commerce is another good example. But get beyond the concept of only associating with nurses, because there's so much that you can learn from business owners and other individuals who have those interests that you have when you are facing making a change.
Absolutely. That's very important, because we tend to become, or historically, we've been very isolated in nursing. We stay isolated within our profession, within our specialty, and even sometimes in our business specialty, such as, you know, legal nurse consulting, for example. And it is very important to broaden your horizons and meet other people in business, meet people outside of nursing and even healthcare, because you do get a much broader perspective. You get a different sense of perspective about what's going on in the world. Some of us like myself, who originally came right out of high school into nursing school and only worked in healthcare. I still work in healthcare, but my horizons have been broadened dramatically since I started my own business 21 years ago. When we only work in one profession, though, or even one specialty, we sometimes only see the world through that lens, and we lose sight of a lot of bigger issues that are going on in the world, and even other opportunities for support and learning. So yeah, it's very important to step beyond the nursing and the healthcare arena as well.
What suggestions would you have about motivating ourselves when we are facing uncertainty?
Well, I'd say uncertainty is a part of living. It's always there. As humans, we are naturally negative. There's actually research on this. We all have a negativity bias, which means that we're drawn to the negative, and in any situation, we have to really work every day to stay and get positive and motivated. And that can happen on a lot of different levels. First of all, surrounding yourself with positive, motivated, upbeat people is very important. And I often joke about that. I give that piece of advice, and then I say to people, I know what you're thinking. You don't know anybody like that, because so many of us are with people that are depressed and negative and all the naysayers all the time in front of us. But when you find people who are hopeful, who are positive, who are upbeat, and I find those people, once again, through professional associations. I find people active in associations just have a different attitude. They're very forward-thinking, very supportive, positive, upbeat. So there's always a degree of uncertainty in every aspect of life, whether you're employed, unemployed, self-employed, retired. So staying with positive, motivated people is important, but also doing things that are positive for yourself, getting involved in meditation and yoga, journaling, studying mindfulness. These are all things that help us to stay positive, focused, motivated every single day. It's something that I have to work on. It's something we all have to work on.
I think there's a particular occupational hazard in legal nurse consulting that is directly on point with what you just said, Donna, because legal nurse consultants look at a lot of negative outcomes. They don't see, if they're working in the medical malpractice arena, all the cases of the people who go through the healthcare system and have an uneventful stay. They see the complications, the untoward outcomes, the screw-ups, the communication failures. They see all of those examples and lots and lots and lots of them, particularly if they work with plaintiff attorneys who hear all kinds of phone calls from people looking to sue a healthcare facility or a healthcare provider. If nurses in the legal nurse consulting profession work on personal injury cases, they see people whose lives have been shattered by their injuries, by major trauma, by chronic progressive conditions that have been made worse by permanent limitations. So we live in the land of negativity. And I think your point is so important about recognizing that when you live in the land of negativity, you can become very negative, you can become cynical, you can become jaded. The black humor aspect of healthcare that's already part of our genetic structure can be worsened by working in an area where you're constantly dealing with stories that make you shake your head and say, really? They really did that? So making a conscious decision to have positive aspects of your life to help balance those others is really an important point, and I'm so glad that you had a chance to make that.
Wonderful.
Where, besides some of the things that you mentioned, can legal nurse consultants draw their strength, particularly when they are faced with some of this uncertainty that we've been talking about, changes that may be necessary? Any additional suggestions beyond what you've already said?
I would just add, I mentioned briefly the concept of self-care and mindfulness, learning to be very present in the moment, and taking good care of yourself, periodically disengaging from work by getting out in nature, by taking an occasional vacation or time off, doing things just for you, creative outlets such as art, music, visiting a museum. It's very important to disengage from our work periodically. And we live in such a 24/7 society today. Nobody ever really stops. Nobody's inbox is ever empty. Nobody's ever caught up. The emails never stop coming. That many of us are just going on this constant treadmill of life and work at a continuous pace. We're working longer, we're working harder, and we feel the need to continue to push ourselves to get everything done. But in truth, we have to periodically pull away from or disengage from our work completely for short periods of time, and sometimes for longer periods, such as vacation and days off, so that we can more fully re-engage with our work. It seems sometimes that we have to keep working and work longer and harder to try to get more done, but there's research that tells us that if we continue to work longer and harder without that periodic disengagement, we're actually becoming less effective, even though we're putting in perhaps more time, and we're starting to experience excessive wear and tear on our body, our mind, and our spirit. And of course, that's what ultimately leads to burnout. And burnout doesn't just happen at the bedside, it can happen in any specialty in nursing.
I know, Donna, that we've known each other a long time. I just did the math, and it's close to 30 years. And
Wow, is it that long?
It is. It's pretty amazing. But I know that you have very successfully surmounted several career challenges and personal challenges. I've watched you go back to school and get additional degrees. I've watched you build your speaking business. What do you think is the big challenges that you faced in your life, and what did you do to triumph over those challenges?
Pat, I have had many big challenges in my life, but so has everyone else that I have met along the way in life. And there was a time in my life when I thought some people had a lot of challenges and a lot of other people didn't really have any. But in the last 21 years, since I went into business for myself and I've traveled the world and been privileged to have people share their stories with me, I learned that everybody is carrying a heavy burden. First of all, I wanted to make that very important point. But in the course of starting my business, the year I started my business, my husband was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, for example. We've had a number of very significant challenges with his illness and disability, other family members as well. We've had some financial crises in our lives related to that, other family issues going on. And it's very difficult when you're going through some of the toughest times in your life and also trying to run a business and make a living. But there are several things that have helped me through. First of all, I will repeat one more time that the friendships and the connections that I have made through my professional associations have gotten me through in bigger and stronger ways than I could have ever imagined. In other words, the connections I make through networking and being connected in associations goes way beyond any business help or support. It's amazing the personal friendships and support that you find by belonging, by getting active. And again, that's belonging and getting active is the opposite of staying isolated and trying to do everything by yourself and on your own. I also learned the hard way about 16 years ago when I almost burnt myself out because I was doing so much and giving and giving and giving and taking care of everyone and building my business but not taking care of myself. I learned the hard way when I was really on the brink of either getting sick or doing something crazy or getting on a plane and flying to Bali and not leaving a forwarding address for my family. I think I considered that for a split second or so. I learned the importance of self-care, and we hear the phrase self-care all the time, and most of us say, yeah, I know it's important, I know I should do it, but I don't have time, I'll do it when I can, it's a luxury I can't afford. What I came to realize about 16 or so years ago is that self-care is not a luxury, it's not pampering, it is routine maintenance for the body, mind, and spirit. And it is something that we have to engage in on a regular basis to balance all of the output that we have. It helps me to manage stress, it helps me to manage issues that are going on in my life, to stay more focused, and to be able to continue to do my work and take care of my family. I've also learned how to ask for help in my life. I've been always very independent, very autonomous. I've prided myself on that, but again, staying isolated, doing things on your own, whether in business or personal life, never brings you down a good road. It just makes things so much more difficult. It takes a village, just takes a village to go through life, really. So I have learned to ask for help from friends, from family members, not just ask, but simply to accept help when it's offered to me. Sometimes people say, you know, let me know if you need anything, what can I do for you? And some of us that are in challenging situations, we don't even really know what to ask for. But when people offer help in some way, I have learned to accept it. Asking for help. I used to think it was a sign of weakness to ask for help. I know now that it's actually a sign of strength. And Pat, I have also visited counselors over the years when I am going through my most difficult times in life, with or without personal challenges. Sometimes just the everyday challenges and rigors of life get overwhelming for us. For example, a lot of people have experienced a lot of anxiety and depression over recent political things prior to the election. I'm not even talking about any election outcome one way or the other. And sometimes we think of counselors just as people that we need to see for mental health problems, but I see counselors as people who are there to help us navigate our way through life's challenges, keep perspective, have a safe place to vent, talk to someone who's not involved in your everyday life and business. And I do periodically go to a counselor for a checkup. I like to share that with people because I know there are many people that are reluctant to see a counselor. It could be a licensed clinical social worker, psychologist, a psychiatric nurse practitioner. It doesn't have to be a psychiatrist, for example, although that's fine too. And that's another thing that's really helped to get me through some of my big challenges in life. When life gets overwhelming, I have a couple of visits with a counselor.
I love your point about the difference between a sign of weakness and a sign of strength to ask for help. I was raised by a mother whose parents were immigrants, who taught her that if you ask for help or admit that you've made a mistake, it's a sign of weakness. And I had to unlearn that behavior as an adult when I discovered that it was really quite dysfunctional to believe that you can be a survivor and still be able to rely on people and ask for help when you need it. Because it certainly is a lonely journey to go through life without having support people. And it's also lonely to be an entrepreneur when much of the world does not understand how we think and what our values are and why we would do, in their mind, such crazy things as start businesses.
That's true, Pat. And, you know, the other interesting thing about allowing people to help you, something else I learned too, not only for myself, but my husband who's disabled, who needs physical help with things periodically, even sometimes when if he's out in his wheelchair, he needs somebody to help him with the door. I learned that you actually give a gift to other people by allowing them to help you sometimes too. We think, oh, I don't want to put you out to help me, but most people want to help and they feel good and better and productive if they are able to help you in some way. So there are even times when perhaps someone has offered to do something for me that maybe I could have done for myself. Somebody might say, you know, can I come over and can I do some shopping for you? Can I make a dinner for you one night? Can I, you know, take your husband somewhere or do whatever might need to be done? And maybe I could have done it myself, but I'll say to them, sure, that would be wonderful. I really appreciate that. And you can see that it makes them feel good and it makes them feel that they're participating, that they're helping in some way rather than me shutting them out to do everything. Sometimes the giving is in the receiving.
Well, I feel that you've given us a lot today, Donna. How can our listeners learn more about you?
Well, thank you, Pat. First of all, you can check out my website. It's going to be real hard to remember the URL. I'm just kidding. It's DonnaCardillo.com. And I've got lots of free resources on my website. I do have a tab specifically for nurses. And there you'll find a list of nurse entrepreneurs. Pat, of course, is listed there. Books by nurse authors, lots of articles, webinars, tons of free stuff. And I do retreats and other events for nurses. So my website is a primary spot, but please connect with me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm very active in all social media, and you can find me there as well.
Thank you so much for sharing your time and your thoughts and your inspiration. You truly are the inspiration nurse.
Thank you, Pat. It's been my absolute pleasure to be with you and your listeners today.
And thanks, everybody, for listening to Donna Cardillo. That's Cardillo is spelled C-A-R-D-I-L-L-O. She is a speaker, a nurse, and as you've heard, very grounded in the realities of what it's like to be a nurse today, as well as to be a nurse in business. We will have our next interview next week, so come back and listen to us. And thank you for spending your time with us today. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.